Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. The latest episode sees myself and Mark return for 2017.
Yep.
We're back.
We're back.
Like most of Everton's ex-players at Sunderland, we're together.
It's a reunion of
it's
sorts.
It's a reunion.
It is.
And we're going to, unlike Sunderland, we're going to talk about positive things at the other end of the table.
Oh, 100%, mate. So we're going to win the league. It's just all great, isn't it? You know, everyone's won the lottery, everyone's buzzing.
Steady on.
I know.
He's had his smarties. But we obviously came back the other week to interview Derek Mountfield. A really good podcast, wasn't it?
Ah, that was unreal. Like, every time I looked at him, I just kept looking at his forehead when he buried that header against Luton. Forehead, awesome. I don't know, like, where I was in awe of a forehead.
Divisions.
Yeah. Or head, maybe. We could talk like that, but, you know, it's just... Yeah, it was that, for us personally, for me as well, that was great to spend time like that with a pure legend in my eyes, someone who contributed hugely to a really great Everton, you know, the best Everton team, let's have it right.
He had a lot of interesting views as well on past and present, yeah. Everton, didn't he, as well, and that was a good time to catch up, really. We'd probably had a month off, hadn't we, over
yeah.
Christmas, too many mince pies, too much wine, cheese.
Far too many mince pies, yeah, 100%, and it was great to
and
come
And that was
back.
Just after the Wofford game.
I think that laugh
is synonymous now with this podcast.
I think it was in A&E with our bed after that Wofford game.
By the way, lads, I'm not standing here with a woman. That is actually Mark Ellis's laugh.
like Sid James in a helium balloon. That's that kind of effect. I like to strike the Sid James chord.
But it's been a while. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say I've missed you.
I would too, but we'd both be lying.
Well, yeah. Two very different people, shall we say.
Not at all.
But we share one thing in common, and yeah. That is Everton FC. So we're back to talk about them. We've got an awful lot to get through, so we're not going to try and bore the life out of you tonight. We're going to try and whiz through a lot, aren't we, within
yeah,
an hour?
Yeah, no inane chatter. This is going to be pure and to the point, so yeah, why not?
And you seem to be educated all of a sudden using words like inane.
I know. Well, I was told today I talk quite inanely a lot to people, so I learned a lot. Yeah. Went on Google it, and I was like, you know what, the fella's going
to basically it means you talk out your ass.
So. Who doesn't?
But there's only one place to start.
Yeah.
And that is Crystal Palace away. Now,
yeah,
we spoke the other week about the Manchester City game in brief terms because we were with Mountfield and the other lads who were with us, and it was great. But the Crystal Palace game was the most recent game, and it was a classic away performance, shall we say?
Absolutely, for me, every bit as impressive as the 4-0 home win against City for me in terms of the way we absolutely controlled that game. For I would say 80% of that game was ours. And the way Everton played with a swagger, and they played with authority, you know, it can't be out there having a magician in Tom Davis in midfield. He was really come on, like a 30 million signing straight
steady
off.
Steady on, all right. Steady no, on. Should we just pause this and go back?
We'll go back. It got easy on the enthusiasm, but no.
No pressure, Tom.
For me, the 4-0 win against City was matched by that 1-0 win at Palace. Could have done with a few more goals, of course, but Everton's performance and the way they controlled that game was every bit as impressive as the City result.
I echo your sentiments, and I think before the game, it's a cliche, but anyone says to me, pick a result now, I would take a 1-0, a snide 1-0,
yeah.
Any time against any Premier League side away from home, to be honest. I mean, Crystal Palace, Allardyce has come in, and his side are notorious for being well organised, quite dogged, unattractive football.
Yeah.
But for Everton to go there and actually dig out a result in the end, and I think it was a deserved result, as you say, Mark. But it was impressive. Obviously, the week before it was a lot more blood and thunder against Manchester City. They had a lot of the ball, but we took our chances really well. Whereas against Palace, we saw a lot of the ball, as you say.
Yeah.
We probably failed to create as many chances as maybe we would have liked. Second half, we had a few.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we came through in the end, and the 3 points is all that counts, and it was another clean sheet.
It was, mate, yeah. And how good did Robles look in that? I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm completely bowled over by a 1-0 away win, but when you look at Robles's... But he's, you know, that fella's really done nothing wrong for a long time now, hasn't he? You know, and he didn't deserve, we talked about this how many moons ago, that he didn't deserve to be
2 years ago,
dropped.
Was,
wow,
yeah.
Crazy. That he didn't deserve to be dropped. Well, I think it's someone put up a stat that was 10 clean sheets in 21 games, I think, that he's riled up. For me, looks growing in confidence. I'm not saying he's the answer to our goalkeeping issues. We do need better quality in there for sure. But when he's come in, he's done great. And I think against Palace was like his most assured performance. He was more, apart from that one flap at the end, which wasn't helped by a dodgy clearance or two, where there's a bit of panic set in. But apart from that, mopped up, cleaned up everything that he wanted. You know,
that excellent save
yeah.
late on as well, down to his right, which was incredible save, really, wasn't it?
I think he tipped it onto the post and then out.
Sheer reaction.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And it was. I would agree with you then in the fact that he's been a contributing factor to our, shall we say, uplifting form. It hasn't been all glorious, probably the past 3 or 4 or 5 games, but I would agree with you there. I think Stekelenburg, he's had his patches, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Throughout the season, since he came in, he was probably a bit of a surprise package. The Spurs game, remember the first game of the season, Manchester City away, there was a few others and we thought, hang on, this lad can do a job. But Robles has come in, and similarly, like to when he came in, for Howard, when Howard got injured, it must have been 18 months ago when we first signed Aaron Lennon on loan, you know. He came into the side, and remember, he was 6 games, and he Martinez was ridiculed for taking him back out and putting Tim Howard back in.
And then we got beat by Chelsea. William, I think, scored, yeah.
And then, but this time around, you know, it's clearly evident that there's competition for places. Koeman will judge you on his merit and put you in on your performances in training and in the side.
Because had Stekelenburg been a Martinez player, you could never have seen him drop like that, like the way Koeman has dropped him, you know, and fair play to Robles. You've got to give credit to him.
Robles. You could be confusing people here.
We shouldn't have gone for that by
Robles,
area, you know.
Robles.
But he's just a non-run, has he? He's just, you know... He's no fuss, no drama. He's come in, he's played well, and him as much as the emergence of Davis and everything else has contributed to the uplift in our on pitch fortunes, I think.
So going back to the Palace game, I mean, obviously the wind was in our sails from the City game, but any side going to Palace, the potential for a tricky away day, shall we say?
Absolutely.
Obviously, Wilfred Zaha's away on international duty. Things aren't all going to plan for Palace, shall we say, this season.
No.
Obviously, Pardew's gone, Allardyce has come in. They've got a few players there who probably will get in a lot of Premier League sides, shall we say.
Yeah.
And going there, they obviously generate a good atmosphere. But Everton going there and with the wind in the sails, they seem to just carry on where they left off against City.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't you know, anything fantastic, sometimes frustrating. But I thought Ross Barkley... Personally, just to measure on some individual performances, Ross Barkley done well. I think since the turn of the year, Ross Barkley's done really well personally, which I'll probably come to that a bit later. But he done well. Davis, fantastic.
Yeah.
there was others like Mason Horgate, Ashley Williams.
Yeah.
I thought done really well, as you said, about the keeper. I think from the back to the front, it was a more organised than a... It was almost like the game was going to end up one way, in my opinion. And obviously, it's easy for me to say because we scored an 87th-minute winner. But I just felt confident in the fact that Everton were going to get something from the game, even though we did miss a few frustrating chances second half, mainly through the likes of Barkley and Lukaku.
Yeah.
But I did feel like we were going to get the result.
I agree, completely agree. It was the way that the whole game was going. I think I watched the game on in the brick, but I didn't watch it on Sky Plus. But apparently Kamara said that if there was a boxing contest, that had been stopped a long time ago. First half wasn't great, and Palace had chances. Benteke at the bar, didn't he, and all that. But the measure of control we had was unreal for an away team. You know what I mean? So the home side virtually had no say.
Yeah.
In that second half, that save aside, which everyone is going to carve a chance out against someone. You know what I mean? Is you don't have to be anyone special to carve a chance out. But it's like Everton was in complete control of that game. It felt like we would score no matter how late it got on. You know, it didn't matter how late it was getting on. I always felt that we'd score at some point. And Davies has passed it home.
It was a brilliant way to end the game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, you've spoken about the chances there. There's not an awful lot. We're not going to go through the game by minute. We never do.
No.
Because we've got too much to waffle on about otherwise.
We also slept since.
Yeah. And also, I haven't got a pad and pen to write every minute of the game down to talk about it on a Wednesday night anyway. But, it was... I thought just looking at the performance, we feel like we've got the momentum. And it might be a bit short-sighted of me saying that, but I do feel since probably, not saying the Arsenal game, because obviously we lost to Liverpool since then, but I would say maybe the Leicester game away from home on Boxing Day, and then we've gone to Hull. We played Southampton. Obviously, we've had the hiccup in the FA Cup against Leicester. But I do really feel like we've got a bit of momentum, and not conceding goals instills that momentum, but scoring at the other end as well. And just talking about them games here, Southampton, Leicester away, Hull away, what's that? That's 8 goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
And since then, we've beat Manchester City 4-0. We've managed to go to Palace and win 1-0. But ultimately, just as importantly, it's a nil. We're winning to nil, and we're winning. So that's why the gap has closed slightly in the league, and that's why I do feel that we've got the momentum, and that's why I do feel like going into the Palace game, I just thought, we're going to get a result out of this, we're going to win, and we're going to carry our momentum onto the Stoke game next week.
Well, it feels like we're the most, out of two games, the most in-form team in the Premier League right now, and it sounds stupid after two games, but you're right, the momentum we took after City, I didn't doubt us for 1 second, our capability to beat Palace away from home, but it was like, the way Everton played the game, and the way we controlled it, and the way that we attacked, particularly in the second half, I think we just knew we were going to score, and it was one of them where
it's a case of when it was going to happen.
Like I said before, it just didn't feel like we were going to get out of there with just a point. It just felt like we were going to win at some point, but when 87th minute, no better times, barely any time for Palace to respond then, is that,
so to the winning goal itself then, there was much fallout from that. It's pretty obvious what we're both going to say about Geoffrey Schlupp, who recently joined Crystal Palace. But that, he was on the attack, wasn't he? He got crowded out and then he got cramp.
Yeah.
Or apparently got cramp and then he was off the pitch and ruled onto the pitch. But to be honest, the passage of play wasn't directly from that. Although the ball stayed in play, it carried on, didn't it?
Because
Everton had a chance where the ball came across the face. Mm. The ball ended up back in midfield with Barkley and worked across to Davis. So there was a couple of things really, wasn't there? But ultimately, we're not going to stand here and go, oh yeah, Crystal Palace were hard done too. We watched the game for as it is. My personal opinion, I was made up. When Everton carried on, I thought, unless there's a serious injury, it's a responsibility of the referee, in my opinion. The sportsmanship comes into it. Not when your side, at the end of a game, trying to win it an important 3 points.
Yeah.
And one player just decides to throw his arms up and say he's got cramp, especially when he's off the pitch, at the other end of the pitch. I was glad to see it. And, people have said on Twitter, I like to see a snide about it. It's not even that. It's just being realistic, I think.
Well, the guy rolled back on the pitch. That's my problem. So he didn't have sufficient... Well, it doesn't matter if he's got cramp or not. It's an injury not worthy of a physio running on. He can, you know, I thought the guy should have been sent off for blatant sport. You know, the guy's trying to cheat Everton out of a goal there, or trying to stop an attack from developing, isn't he? By why is he rolling back onto the pitch? He's rolling back onto the pitch to affect what's happening at the other end. That for me is, God, it's a blatant disregard for the game, and I'm trying to get the words out right, but it's like. It's I don't know what it is, but he's trying to affect the game. Shithousery is the word, yeah. He's seen what's happening, he's not stupid. Seen Davis pick the ball up, he knows he's got a decent left peg. Thought he'd roll back on. Disgraceful, to be honest. If you got cramps, stay off the pitch. You're trying to affect what's going on at the other end. Should have been booked. And you know, Allardyce should have been taking his money off him so he couldn't have got a kebab after it. The lot, mate. You know, to stop, you know, ruining their Saturday nights.
I knew I shouldn't ask you about that one. But it's pretty conclusive what we see. Crystal Palace fans have seen something different, but I think it was the likes of Alan Shearer and other people who've said,
put it right,
come on, at the end of the day, let's all be adults about this. The lad was off the pitch, he got a bit of cramp, he rolled back onto the pitch to try and prevent Everton scoring the winner. Unfortunately, Everton scored the winner for them, and we did, and the scenes in that corner was brilliant.
Fantastic, yeah.
And do you know what, fair play to Seamus Coleman. He always does chip in with the odd goal. Me and you have sat here and criticised him openly the past couple of years. We don't think he's been the player. Maybe sometimes he's hyped up to be, shall we say.
Absolutely.
From the start, I would say he would be because of his price tag, but I do believe from the standard he set over the first 4 or 5 years at Everton.
Yeah.
Recently he's gone off the boil, but that, you know, that could be said about a lot of people.
But I think he's played a lot better lately, hasn't he, Coleman? He's looked a lot more himself, I think.
But the shape of the team, I think, has contributed to that. And he did really take the goal well, didn't he? I mean, obviously you've got Davis, who played the ball through, which was...
just majestic. It was just like, you know, it's looked a really simple pass. But the pace that he played it at was took the Palace defence by surprise. And Coleman had that extra yard in which to pick his spot, and you know, it's just Davis. I just worked with the guy's great. There was a touch on the ball and everything, but that pass, the fizz that he played at was took Palace by surprise, and Coleman was in before they even had a chance to react. You know, thought it was a great goal.
So basically, you've got Tom Davis posters in your bedroom.
Mate, Tom Davis posters. I am trying to develop a Ket wig of my own naturally, but it's not going to happen.
You're growing it on your chin instead. Do you know what though it was? You know, a nice little intricate ball in. I think Coleman, Palace were sleeping worthy because we were already on the tack when the ball broke back out.
Yeah.
Don't forget Ross Barkley's contribution in a lot of the build-up. I know people are screaming and turning their head out when you watch Ross Barkley, but I thought he massively contributed to Everton's 3 points on Sunday.
Totally.
Saturday, and the previous Sunday. For some reason, it feels like he's turned the corner.
Yeah,
whether or not that's Tom Davis in the side, being alongside him, maybe
it's his
or
mate
not.
As well.
Yeah,
isn't it? So
I think that's helped him.
And Tom Davis has come in and really stole the limelight off him. And you know, I think that's what we've alluded to for so long now. That Barkley doesn't like the limelight, and now all of a sudden it's not all about Ross Barkley; it's about Tom Davis.
Yeah.
You know, and the likes of Luckman as well coming in and just taking the edge off Barkley, so people are forgetting about him. That's when we're seeing the best of him. So
yeah,
maybe,
just let him get on with his game.
Just carry on. And he's been fantastic. And back end of the first half, second half, I thought he was great.
Yeah, he has. He's been. I'm not going to say he looks like a different player, but he does look like the shackles are off, shall we say? And he's like, go on, lad. You know, your mates are in the side now. Go and play like you would on a Sunday league, you know, up in Wavertree or whatever. Yeah. It's just, it's one of them, isn't it? We could sit here all night and talk about Ross Barkley, but
it's just nice to see him playing well.
Exactly. It's nice to see him playing well, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
Just
that's
carry
it
on
Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
Ross, you enjoy
well,
your
Tom
night,
Davis, lad, you know what I mean? You're only 18, and Mark Ellis wants to talk you up that much that he's getting fucking gold-plated pictures around his house.
Mate, the Holy Trinity is now in one person for me. Oh, fuck it, I don't
know. Do you know what, though? It's nice to be excited, isn't it? It is nice to be excited.
100%.
It's nice to see one of our own coming through. Ross Barkley, the weight on his shoulders. We've seen it happen before with other players. But, you know, as you just said then, it's the sharing responsibility. It's not bringing a lad in, a new signing. It's bringing a lad through. and seeing what they can do.
But I think we can't underestimate the importance of him being a mate of Ross Barkley's, but also a young lad too. So a player who is very similar to Ross Barkley a few years ago, I think that helps enormously too. So Ross Barkley can understand what this fella's going through. Tom Davies looks like he's got three times the shoulders to put it on. And that's, I think, honestly, I think that's helping Barkley no end.
Well, just on, before we move on to the likes of Adam Ola Lukman and Tom Davies, probably in more detail, but I've noticed, you know, the way the two of them were in front of the press against Chelsea?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if any of them in front of the press against Palace, but just the times that I've seen them on Everton TV or in front of the press, you know, just doing little bits and bobs, they do really seem screwed on, you know, in terms of the heads and in terms of what they say. And it might sound a bit, you know, patronising of me to say that, but I'm saying 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, which Lukman and Davis are, it takes a lot to go in front of a camera and go out there, you know, nationally, and there's thousands and millions of people actually viewing what you're saying. And I think Ross has probably struggled with the media side of it and the confidence, which, you know, ironically, Wayne Rooney did at one point, didn't he, when he was very young lad.
Personalities more than anything, doesn't it? Not the player they are, or that's just some people are a lot more comfortable in front of the media.
Without a doubt, and that's not a criticism of Ross Barkley. Yeah. I just feel like Jack Davis and Lukman deserve a mention when they're in front, and they're actually, hang on, go ahead, lads, you go out in front of the press and you say what you want, and they seem pretty grounded, down to earth, and a willingness to do well, and a real hunger to do well.
I think fans are clinging on, but for me personally, I'm looking at Lukman and Schneiderlin, you know, who's coming, and the likes of Tom Davies, who really does, God forbid me for sounding like a Ken Wright apologist, but he really does feel like a new signing, and I'm seeing them as a 2017 Everton. You know what, that's Everton in 2017, is all about these guys. It's not about Tom Cleverley anymore, it's not about taking the piss out of the assy, it's not about all these, it's all about the, you know, how fresh face we're looking, you know what I mean? We look like we've had a good swill, got these players in, we're looking decent now, and we've got like an energy about us. Lukman, compared to Niasse, you know, in 5 minutes, has shown he's 11 million times the player.
Well, that brings us on nicely. I mean, we're going to talk about the upturn in fortunes, the shape of the side. Obviously, Mason Holgate's coming to that. Ashley Williams, Funes Mori's getting a bit more regular. Baines is back, Coleman. We're talking about the likes of Davis and Lukman, who's only come off the bench a couple of times. But the whole shape of the team, the dynamic has changed, hasn't it? And as you say, a swill in the face is probably the best way to describe it. I honestly think since that Arsenal victory, which was, I think, the 19th or the 13th of December.
Week before the derby,
And obviously since then, we've had the disappointment of the derby and Leicester in the cup, but I do think then we've seen a reaction, and I think that the Arsenal result followed the Watford result when we got beat 3-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I do feel we've seen a reaction since then.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And especially since the new year, the 2nd of January, we beat Southampton 3-0.
Yeah.
We've just gone on, and especially the league form, you know, there's no getting away from the fact that we absolutely frustrated we went out the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And absolutely mortified that we got beat in a last minute winner by Liverpool. There's no getting away from them facts. We're not going to stand here and say it's all rosy in the garden. The way we started the season, Mark, August, probably September, we were on our high horse, we were optimistic. It fell away, didn't it? It came a bit disjointed, a bit erratic, the form. But then we've kind of got it back towards the latter end of the year and going into 2017. I believe we've had a good start. So that's why I'm feeling positive about it.
Absolutely. And for me, I think Hume's adopted a 3-4-2-1 system now, hasn't he? With sort of Coleman and Baines playing almost in midfield, if you like, with the three centre halves, and the emergence of Davis and Barkley with the new signings, Schneider and Lukman, Lukaku, who's done well in the last 18 minutes. I've got to say about Holgate as well. Guy's mustard, absolute mustard. You can see why, you know, the likes of Merrill was saying he was better than Stones. The guy's just great player, isn't he?
Well, he's another point on something to talk about, but Mason Holgate is the lad feels when you watch him, it looks like he's been playing in the Premier League for 5 years.
Yeah, it just
it really does.
Really comes across that it's effortless to him what he's doing. You know, it comes naturally. That I think perfect was, as someone said on Twitter, and forgive me for not remembering it, but it was like Stones is someone who wants to look good defending, and Mason Holgate wants to look, his passion is defending. not how he looks or anything. You can, one guy wants to defend and one guy wants to look good defending, is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I think that comes to, Mason Longley is a natural defender.
And I think the look of that, you know, and Ashley Williams is not being perfect since he signed Romero, Funes, Mori. By no means has he been perfect, but I do feel having that lad in there, Mason Holgate, it kind of shows them. It shows, well, this is the type of lad that Everton are going to sign. This is the type of lad that is probably going to be in the English game from now on. You know, we need to find that sort of level of consistency, but also that partnership and relationship at the back.
Totally agree.
That's why the likes of Jagielka has been phased out, because it's not working. Obviously, Koeman sees a vision for that. Whether Funes Mori and Ashley Williams are long-term visions for that, I highly doubt. I do believe he's probably got a vision alongside Holgate, but you've got to look at that.
But these players are in there now, aren't they? You know?
Exactly. And if he's in there now playing alongside seasoned internationals like Williams and Funes Mori and making them...
Baines.
And Coleman. and he's slotted in, and he doesn't look out of place at all, then that shows you the class of himself.
Totally agree. That's not down to place. That's what I like now about, if you look through the sort of three main positions, we've got Holgate who's playing alongside Williams and Mori, then you look at midfield and we've got Davis alongside the likes of Schneiderlin or Barry, players around that experience, and then you've got Lukaku and you've got now Luchman playing with him. You can see what he's trying to do there. There's like youth mixing in with quality experience, not just any experience, very good players, you know, and that's really promising for me to see that sort of that combination of youth and experience get moulded together. And you know, I think what we're doing is right, but I'll tell you what, we're really blessed with the youngsters coming through.
So what about then Ademola Lookman and Morgan Schneiderlin?
Schneiderlin, we seen for a bit against Palace, came on, and he clearly looks match fit. He's not match fit, that's the first thing that stands out, but he's, you know, I thought he'd done really well when he came on. Palace snuffed out a lot of attacks, and I think he's the type of, he's going to have an eye for a pass, isn't he, the way, you know, he sets up in the field and he was trying to ping it and get attacks going. He's not a cleverly way, he's happy and content to pick up his wages, knocking it sideways. There's more to his game than that, absolutely.
Well, I was going to say, there's a lot more to his game than the likes of James McCarthy, Darren Gibson, probably, Tom Cleverley, who you've just mentioned. There's probably a lot more to that. And I think his quick introduction into the side is going to see him a regular. Yeah. I do believe that, give it a couple of weeks to get, you know, entwined with... Again, it's a phasing out period. We all know Gareth Barry's there for another year, and he's been invaluable at certain times, to be honest. But with Garner Guy coming back, Morgan Schneiderlin,
that midfield is looking so strong, Mark. Now it's, you know, from the start of the season when it looked okay, now it's mad how one signing changes the whole complexion.
Davis, Barkley,
and the emergence of Davis,
exactly. So where does Mo Bezic, Darren Gibson fit in? Where does James McCarthy fit in? Do you know what I mean? Cleverley's been phased out already. Yeah. Gareth Barry will probably get some sort of advisory coaching role. He's just great to have around the place and maybe play. You know, next season you may see him involved to a certain extent, but it's a whole new look forming. And what you've just said, what we've just been talking about then, about Mason Holgate at the back line, the likes of Tom Davis, Morgan Schneiderlin in the middle, and
there's
then
a vibrancy about Everton.
Ademola Lookman in attack.
God, he's going to talk about it.
From top to bottom, it's there, isn't it? The refresh, shall we say?
100%. And some people moaning about Lookman and 11 million quid. And, you know, Dele Alli didn't just, he was pinched from League One, just like, you know, we took Lookman from League One, you know, and I don't think that is so old fashioned to look at it like that. He's from a League One team, and what are we doing signing? You know, I love that signing. It clearly said that Everton had stolen him. Like I said last week, it stolen a match on. It was like, okay, you're the next one. We're going to pay whatever it takes to get you here, 11 million quid for a League One without even blinking. Come on, we were like arguing for maybe 13 weeks to get 4 million quid for Sean Davis, and he was a proven midfield player. Now, without blinking, and I know the financial landscape's changed, we're just going picking the best players out of League One, and you know that they've got to come from somewhere. They're all going to. And Lookman, what, you know, he looks a player right away. Charlton must have been, couldn't get over him. You know, straight away for us, he's made an impact, hasn't he?
I He has, and you know, £11 million, £11 million in Premier League terms in 2017 isn't a lot of money, man.
No,
and he's come from League One.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to say it's justified. He's only played about
half an hour
a game of footy. Yeah. But he come off the bench against Manchester City, got the ball and slotted it, made the keeper, scored at the Gladys seat end, and then come off the bench against Palace the other day and started pinging shots in.
I think it's very first touch, unfortunately, he
got blocked out.
Yeah,
but he more than contributed, and I think, I can't remember who it was, but someone said on Twitter, it looks like Koeman is very proud of what he's found, and he wants to throw him in, and it's almost to say, look what I've found here. And obviously it's Steve Walsh and Mashiri and the board that are funding that. Walsh is identifying that, but they all have a say, and it's really, that instills confidence. I do feel, you know, look at that there, Mason Holgate, Tom Davis, Ross Barkley, Ademola Lookman, Romelu Lukaku, who's still only 23 years of age. That, what the players we're talking about here is incredible, really.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months ago, a year ago, we had a few of these players, but we also had a lot of seasoned international players or proven experienced players that just wasn't cutting the mustard, whereas now it's starting to turn on its head. And I'm not saying that we're going to play a load of 11, 19-year-olds and start suddenly winning the league.
No.
But you have to refresh the side. You have to bring in these new legs. You have to bring in strength in numbers, competition for places. And then you look at the likes of the over 30 brigade and think, he's looking over his shoulder thinking, Jesus Christ, there's a lad there who they've just signed there for 4 million, 11 million from X, Y, and Z. My place is currently a threat, and that's obviously what's happened with the likes of Tom Cleverley. It's happened with Gerard Deulofeu.
Exactly.
It's going to continue to happen until certain players get phased out of the club.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see the evolution.
And we want for a better Everton.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
We can have our takeaways on the stack tonight in happiness. You know what I mean? But no, you see how good does the emergence of Tom Davis, how good does that signing of Schneiderlin next to him look now? You know, it looks, you know, already you can see them two together in midfield. I don't think you can take Tom Davis out. He's got that much ability about him. But it's like, you know, and then a Gay comes in, and then, you know, we're looking so strong in midfield, aren't we? You know, and for we've one signing. In,
we've packed that area.
With not with mediocre, sad-footing, crab-passing players who were happy just to do nothing. These are impact players who want to make a difference now, who look like we've got it all over the midfield, you know. Just, I think we do need more on the wings, you know, and I think we're still searching for that backup to Rom that everybody wants, you know, and stuff, so hopefully we'll get that. But right now, midfield, zero complaints about how we're looking there.
Well, to be honest, I mean, one player who we've studied and slated him in the past, but Morales has been, he's a wide player, but he's been played more centrally. But I completely see what you're saying. If we're going to bring in a player tomorrow and it was 20 million, it'd be on the left or right wing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And your opinion, probably, yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
But Kevin Morales, he's done well, hasn't he? Let's be honest. I mean, against Manchester City, took his goal well. Got a few assists to his name. He seems to be confident. It's gone the other way with Deulofeu. I always thought Morales and Deulofeu would have been the same. Bit of ego, bit of skills, this and that. Blow out on cold. One's younger than the other. They've been linked with moves away in the past. Deulofeu's obviously gone out. I'm still surprised that Kevin Morales is at Everton, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'd love for him to forge a successful career. And if he carries on playing as he is, then he's not doing nothing wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. A couple of games don't make a season.
No, we're talking about that with everyone at this moment, aren't we?
We've been quick to criticise him in the past, and I've studied slated him. I've slated Coleman, I've slated all of them. I have done in the past 2 or 3 years. In fact, for the past 20 years, I've slated everyone. But you want the best, don't you? And you want, you know the quality's in there. Again, with Morales, we know the quality's in there. We just haven't seen it often enough.
My God, did he look? No, you're right, completely agree. Against City, though, that fella, from moment one, I don't know what happened in that week or the week or whatever, change the system, that fella looked like the cat that got the cream. You know, he looked a lot happier. He was played more central. In fact, at times, Lukaku was playing number 10 to him, certainly for the goal. You know, they would switch positions, didn't they? Morales looked a lot happier in that position. And Koeman's maybe, again, he's really upped his tactical game the last 3-4 weeks for me, if you ask me. I think he really sharpened up his his in-game management of the team and stuff like that. That's just my opinion. But I think Morales playing centrally has made Lukaku happier for a start. He's got someone up there with him of quality, not of similar. I think Lukaku's a lot ahead of Morales in terms of ability, but he's certainly capable of providing him with assists and stuff like that, and giving him good support up there. And then Lookman, the whole front three now looks different, doesn't it? You know, it looks vibrant, energetic. A happy Morales is a dangerous Kevin Morales.
Yeah.
And that's what it's shown. I think he's been great, hasn't he, the last day. He's, you know, again, we're talking about Holgate, Davis, and Kevin Morales has played just an important role in this emergence. As any of them, the whole team's lifted up, hasn't it? He's been part of that.
True, and I think there's not a lot of Evertonians who probably disagree with that, to be honest. I mean,
and I've slagged Morales rotten,
same,
but I think he's done greatly.
Yeah. But the thing, that's the thing, it's getting the best out of the players, and whether, you know, the change in formation, the change in personnel is finally looking good for Morales. We don't know, we could be bombed out against Stoke.
And he might get sold.
Exactly, he might get sold in the chance. He's one of them, in Morales, you just don't know.
He could end up at Newcastle.
Yeah, he's always been seen like some sort of fan's favourite, people singing his name, and I've always thought, when I'm being a Goodison, what's he actually done?
Yeah.
What's he done? But then he pops up with things, or he shows his real ability, and I think just showing a consistent level. It's more out of frustration, the criticism of him, but again, it's been good to see.
Yeah, great to see.
Another point was something we probably... I think we only briefly touched upon the other week, but was the injury to Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, yeah, real shame, I thought, because he was making an emergency of the team, wasn't he? Koeman clearly fancied him, you know, he was coming on, he brought him on against Liverpool, which I thought wasn't the best move, which proved costly and stuff, but he started to come on regular, didn't he, as sub, I really felt sorry for him when he missed that. I didn't feel sorry, I fumed, of course, but he missed that chance at Hull, didn't he, where, you know, great chance. And I think that would have been the making of the kid right there and then, if had he scored, you know. But and then he got the injury in the very next game, didn't he, at home. So it was, like, really disappointing. But kids, Koeman clearly beats him, which is a good thing, you know, for us. But I think he's another example of us pinching some of the best quality
talent from elsewhere. Yeah.
It's really good, and we've seen today Anton Donker from Wolfsburg coming in. You know, I don't think this is like Eric Dyer. I think Everton have changed since Eric Dyer, you know, where we brought him in just to give him experience or whatever, game time, with no ambition to sign him. I don't read anything into the fact that Wolfsburg don't want to sell him. Well, why entertain giving him out at all? And if you don't, you know, but I think Everton have again stolen a match of some kind here. You know, they're signing all kinds of players.
But they're paying the money for them as
well.
But you said there about pinching the talent from the lower leagues, they're paying the top dollar for them, which £11 million for Charlton, who are in financial disarray anyway, and you know, dodgy owners and what have you, and down to League One status. £11 million could be a life-changing amount of money for 100%. Them. So. But Everton are just going and saying, right, we'll give you 500k for this lad and this lad.
Yeah.
They're actually paying £3 million for John Stones. Yeah. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I think, was £1.5 million to Sheffield United. So the money's there, isn't it? You know?
It is. But what staggered me was Unsworth talking on you know, very impressive interview he gave about the ambitions of Everton. And Unsworth has his own budget. A transfer budget in which to get these players. Not that, my God. I mean, we'd be blessed enough if the actual manager of Everton got a transfer budget, let alone the reserve manager. I'm telling you, it's little things like this that tell me a snowball is slowly developing at Goodison and is only going to get bigger. You know.
This is Mark Ellison reporting live.
Times Square.
There's no anti Ken Wright comments. He's actually talking a positive about Everton's finances for once. It's a good job of recording this, eh?
I know, it's so you can be used later in evidence.
But in terms of outgoings, Mark, we did say we'll keep this short and sharp.
We're trying to.
So, Gerard Delafoe, AC Milan on loan.
Very short. Real shame, because I was made up when he signed, and it hasn't worked out for him. He might come back a better player, but very rarely this happens. I think just Delafoe hasn't had the mental agility to adapt to what Koeman's asked him to do, and I don't think he's wanted to do. I don't know. it's a shame because Sam's made up when he signed, it hasn't worked out for him. But ultimately, if he's not doing it on the pitch, he's not doing it for us, we're going home pissed off. You know, piss Milan fans off and then we'll get someone better in. Fine, it's all doggy dog.
And that's that with that one. In terms of Tom Cleverley, what's your thoughts on him?
Tom Cleverley, my God. Christ, I mean, do you want me to speak positively or just speak normally about him? You know, I think Tom Cleverley just was a Martinez signing, a do-nothing player. Didn't have anything to attack, didn't have much to defend. I can't really gloss this over about how poor he was as a player. It's just, you know, the last time I've seen him do anything decent was when he scored against us for Aston Villa and stuff. But I think Tom Cleverley is having a, you know, he's a player who represents a mediocre Everton. He's a player who represents an unambitious Everton. I've gone to town on him there, sorry, but
Tom, what about Umani Asked?
I wish you were. Umani Asked competition with it, who somehow blagged another Premier League contract. Did you see that shot? I mean, yeah. I mean, two things, the defending and the shot. I know he had a decent shot later on for Hull, but nah, it's just, I mean, you know, the fella, he looked like a pissed Amakachi when he turned up, do you know what I mean? And I loved Amakachi, but he couldn't trap a bag of cement either. But Niasse, I think it was when he tried to back heel it and it come back off his heel and went maybe 25 yards. More like a back pass. No, I mean, I can't believe Martinez signed him. It's clearly a player who would look... It would look inadequate for a League Two team, you know, with respect to. I can't believe he's that. Either. I feel sorry for him.
Is she talking about Tom Cleverley, by the way? Or him?
Oh, well, we are to the Elsie.
No, I see what you mean about Cleverley. I do think he's a very safe player. It was a very safe sign, and I thought he could be useful at one point, but he's reliable, shall we say?
In
what
he's
aspect? Only reliable in. In certain manners of
he's reliable,
midfield but play, it's all very safe. It's all very.
For me,
let me speak a second.
Sorry, lad.
It's all very safe. It's all very simple. It's all very unenthusiastic and not really adventurous, shall we say? But like a night out with you,
a night out with me. That was like Christmas for me. He's just a player who's reliable. If you want to give another player a standing ovation when you 4-0 up.
Oh, I hope you're not listening, Tom. Well, Tom's gone off to Watford,
yeah,
with a view to a £8 million move, is it? No?
Yeah. If we can get that, then terrific.
Happy days. Just yeah. We'll have Etienne Capoue in return.
Yeah.
£8 million as well.
£8 million as well, yeah, on top.
But he's gone. Dolofeu's gone.
Yeah.
I didn't really give my opinions on Dolofeu, but you probably said them, to be honest. Something's happened there with Koeman.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to be blind not to see that.
Definitely.
He's obviously, people have said about his fitness. If you know, if you come from Barcelona and you play for Everton and you've gone to AC Milan on loan, fitness should not be even anywhere near the conversation, in my opinion. I think I'm fit enough to play for any of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it seems to be with him, it seems to keep getting brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to him. Well, not fair play to him, good luck to him over there. And if he does well, he does well. But I want him back. I want him to be a success at Everton because I remember how excited he was and how cheap we signed him for, don't forget.
Yeah.
And I do remember when he first came over on loan and it was fantastic memories, yeah. Don't forget.
It was.
No, we didn't win any silverware or anything like that. But I do remember the lift that Gerard Deulofeu gave Everton FC when he first came over, and I was made up when we signed him. Similarly to the likes of Lukaku and other players like that. But
yeah.
Deulofeu, unfortunately, he's gone the other way. Gareth Barry,
yeah,
loan, signed him, done well for himself.
Yeah.
All right, not everyone's cup of tea. Probably say the same again about Lukaku, but the difference is Lukaku scored a shed load of goals.
I'm not even entertaining that no more. Deulofeu
come in,
yeah,
signed him, unfortunately, bit part. The odd season when he's got a lot of assists, but we were shite, to be honest, yeah, over all Everton, wasn't we? So that, yeah, never helps a player's cause. So I hope he does well.
Yeah.
I mean, that Italian league's not what it is. AC Milan are not what they are. Apparently they're playing Juve tonight as we speak, so
yeah,
maybe he gets a bit of time off the bench, proves himself and comes back full of fitter, and Koeman gives him a chance maybe next season, but only time will tell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nias, any thoughts on Nias? No,
just not even a footballer. I'm sorry.
We'll leave it at that then.
Yeah.
Everton have today signed Anton Doncor.
Yeah.
Which sounds like something that you do on a Sunday morning. On loan from Wolfsburg. He's only a young lad.
Yeah.
Is everyone fuming because we've loaned a player? And
I think they're fuming because...
You've been on Twitter.
I have. There's been some fume about the fact that Wolfsburg have said they've no intention of selling him. If that's true, I don't know if it is or not. But there's been fume that we haven't paid money for a player, of course. There's that natural fume. And I'm not back in the club. We do need to spend a lot more. But, you know, we can't... there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know what I mean? And if this is another way, then sound if we're stealing the match. I don't believe he's just coming over to experience. I think we're going to end up signing him if he's any good. I think that option's there for us. So I think this is much more ruthless Everton now. So if we're getting a player from, you know, just German under 20 international, sticking him in the reserves, it just shows you the whole concept of Everton has changed so much, hasn't it? You know, it's really moving on. I wish the lad well. Hopefully we'll see him in the first team.
I'd like to think you were right, and he's got certainly an interesting name, and he's big enough, isn't he? I'm sure he'll be interesting against some of them under 23 centre halves, won't he?
Not half.
Do you know what? As you said before, if you kind of get the impression now that if he does well, he'll soon be rewarded with a place on the bench or a place in the side.
Yeah.
Which is what Dominic Calvert-Lewin did. Which is what
totally
the likes of Tom Davis and other players, Mason Horgate, has just come in basically out of nowhere. He didn't have time on the pitch. But
then we look up, he's on the bench watching what team on the pitch, you know, it's much more competitive.
Exactly, and even if just being involved on a first team match day is different, isn't it?
Can obviously see the guy staying if he does well, honestly. You know,
put it this way, the only other option off the bench is Aruna Kone, so...
Is he still here?
We've been linked with a number of other players, but I don't play with play on Chat Manager anymore.
No, do I, being 37.
Helder Costa.
Yeah, oh well.
I know about him, and apparently a few Wolves fans have said, oh no, Everton are stealing a march and going to sign him permanently. Yeah. He's on loan, isn't he, from Benfica?
That's right. How do you end up at Wolves? It's crazy.
But he's been turning it up, hasn't he, in the Championship?
Been ripping arseholes left, right and centre, apparently, in the Championship. And Wolves fans, I've seen a few tweets off Wolves fans saying, oh, of course, the Everton have come in and fought him and stuff like that. Again, it shows, we're not talking Kendall, Sheedy and Reid and Stephen and all them players, but it does show Everton a knife for a player, no matter where he is, do you know what I mean?
He's on loan at Wolves, surely a cup-price deal can be done. And if by any stretch, we don't know. We could be well wide of the mark here, but
yeah.
A wide player is something that we're crying out for, you know, just to add to the squad. So if he's a lad that can be coming in and he's relatively young and we can get him cheap, and he's had a bit of English game experience in the Championship, which is probably one of the hardest leagues around.
Yeah.
Then
What Walsh has done, signing Mahrez for Leicester, and now he's at Everton, he's made these kinds of signings fashionable, I think, you know what I mean? No one's turning their nose up anymore. Like they used to at these types of signings, because it could be in the next Mahrez, it could be the next, you know, I had him in the top of my head then, it's gone, a player, you know, who's made an impact without a Payet, for example.
Yeah.
Not Payet was the one I was thinking of. You know, them types of signings, Mahrez, no one had heard of Mahrez, he'd had a career not much to boast about and help Leicester win the title. Now no one's really fuming too much about these types of signings, because the next one could be one of them. We're all looking for that Cantona United effect, aren't we? You know, the catalyst, the great Everton effect.
Yeah.
One of these players could be. So we've got to, you know, back what the fella sees. He's on enough money to see it.
That's a job to identify them targets, though, isn't it?
Totally agree. Yeah.
So, you know.
And he's the best in the business. And if he thinks that guy who's on loan at Wolves can do a job for us, then happy days. Yeah. he's all going to get Mark in a minute.
Become a spokesperson for Everton, yeah? You've changed it, I know, yeah? Branislav Ivanovic was another whisper. Now, I don't even know who makes these names up, but... I don't even know who makes these rumours up, but...
Yeah.
Ivanovic has been brilliant for Chelsea over the years. He's obviously been a bit phased out, but... I don't really see that the need for us to sign an Ivanovic at the moment, but...
To me, he's on the same sort of path as...
If we can go loan him for 5 months, that was just another body in the ranks, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Probably spoke absolute shite then comparing him to Jacks. I think he's still a much better player than what Jacks is. But yeah, I can fill in at right back or at centre back. And it's a like a much better Lucas Neal type signing, isn't he? You know, if we got him, I mean, he's a really good player. And also a massive threat from set pieces, you know.
So we mentioned Phil Jagielka, then he's been strongly linked with Sunderland, but as also...
07 or 08.
Oh my God, he's been linked with Southampton.
Oh yeah,
Jagielka, been linked with Southampton, because Fonte went to West Ham. Thoughts on Phil Jagielka?
Yeah, fantastic. A captain who leads by example more than by voice, you know what I mean? I think he believes he's better showing his worth on the pitch rather than, I'm saying it wrong, basically he leads by example by what he does on the pitch, I think. But, you know, his influence has waned the last year or two, I'd say. He's not as fast as he used to be, and he's missing a good solid partner next to him. Like, you know, he thrived under Lescott, didn't he, and stuff, and other players like that. But Jags, he's been fantastic for us. He's been great. He's been a really good, classy centre half at times, you know what I mean? And I think someone who we're going to miss, but who sadly really has to move on now. We've sadly got to that point now.
Yeah, I just feel that it's like, if he goes now in the January transfer window, it's just kind of a bit cheap, isn't it? It's a bit of a cheap exit out the door. But ultimately, he may have a few years left and he thinks, I'm going to go to a lesser Premier League side.
Play more,
It's not like Cleverley where you can get a loan deal and then with a view to an 8 million signing. Phil Jagielka was a lot older, a lot more experienced, but he still has probably a lot to offer. I've always been a big fan of Phil Jagielka, but the team's evolving. Yeah. And there's no time for sentiments. And this started when the likes of Tim Cahill started to leave. Tim Howard, Osman, Hibbert, Distan. Players like that, the team's evolved and it has to evolve.
See, it's like
otherwise, we'll always just be, you know, Everton, who's full of popular lads who are willing to have a go. We need a bit of snide about us, and we've been saying that for a while, haven't we?
We have, mate, completely agreed. Now, you get some people saying, no, the guy deserves a lot of respect, needs a, you know, some exit, a test, some, and a send-off, a proper send-off and all that. But then, you know, we're craving this new Everton, and unfortunately, this includes stuff like this, where we get rid of players unceremoniously. You know, some of the finest players we've ever had have been dumped unceremoniously. We talk about Southall, and we talk about Ratcliffe, you know, really... thrown out, you know, with no fanfare or whatsoever, you know, ruthlessly, particularly Ratcliffe and stuff like that. But, you know, what do we want? Do we want to appear sentimental to everybody else and everybody's favourite club? Or do we're all craving this brand new, ruthless, don't give a shit, Everton. And sadly, that takes on that size as well.
Well, it's not even about being ruthless, but it's being just about modern day business, to be honest. And it's like ruthless and horrible and snide are words that don't sit well with a lot of Evertonians. But I just think if you have to move with the modern day, you have to act like a modern day business. And ultimately, only successful people and only people who are good enough survive in the modern day business. Ultimately, with some businesses and the Premier League is one of the biggest businesses in the world, and Everton FC is one of the biggest clubs in England, if not the world. So these are the kinds of things you have to let go of the shoestrings, the sentiment, and things like, what's the best deal? Let's have a look at what's best for our business. If they're not best, well, move them aside, and they may take a 10 grand pay cut, but they'll still go and pick up fucking 40 grand in the Championship a week, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's not like me and Mark who are going to go and walk into different jobs and... We're scrambling over 500 quid here and there. This is modern day Premier League football, and sometimes it has to be cutthroat. And Evertonians sometimes don't like, we want to be liked and we don't want to be hated. I'm not standing here. I don't know what you're saying, but I don't want to be standing here and be saying I'd rather be Everton, be hated and win the lot. I'd rather just Everton be a bit more realistic.
And be
a bit more ambitious, realistic. And a bit more modern, and think, right, this is the way we're going to do things. And I do feel, since last May, Mashiri, Walsh, Koeman, club's trying to evolve, it is a slow process, off the field, on the pitch. We will get there eventually.
We are starting to see very slowly that snowball effect, aren't we, from what's, you know, the ground and stuff looks like it's happening. And we're not getting Evertonians are bloodthirsty for signings. I'm the same, you know, we all want more signings. We only had two this window so far, and fans are saying everyone's a fraud and phonies and all this sort of stuff, but there's more than enough evidence to suggest Everton are preparing to go big. I'm not just in signings, but the ambitions appear off the scale at the moment, don't they? You know, so that, I mean, you know, there's nothing stopping us from. I don't think there's anything stopping us except we need to win something and then attract better players. You know what I mean? That's what we need.
We
to
just
do.
Need to build, don't we?
Yeah,
we need something to build
on.
It's
clear now that there's a plan in place, isn't there? You know, we're seeing great quality youth coming in. We're pinching the best talent from there, and everywhere. You know,
let's not forget though, Mark. You know, since 2002 for 2003. You know, when Moyes took over, we finished 17th one season, but then we went from 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 6th. You know what I mean? We bounced in and around. And that isn't the end game, finishing 5th and 6th by any stretch.
No.
Winning the league is the end game, and wanting to win the league and winning championships and what have you. But attracting players, the likes of Pienaar, Arteta, who came on loan and then signed permanently. Everton were involved in European nights, and people might take the piss and take a UEFA Cup and what have you, but it still makes the difference.
Yeah.
Since then, when Martinez took over, Moyes was phased out, you know, he left and done that.
Yeah.
Martinez came in, we were on the crest of a wave, and we finished up there, didn't we? Fifth again, Europe. Yeah. We had a bit of a go. So, since then, it's waned, and the enthusiasm on the pitch, off the pitch, has waned. The attraction, the lure of the club. Yeah. So, Mascheri coming on board, which is still relatively new, we have to look at it as a new phase for the club and think, right, the foundations, we've finished 11th for the past two seasons. We have to finish in the top half. I'm not saying finishing 10th is acceptable.
No.
We need to try and finish 7th, 6th, 5th, whatever.
Yeah.
8th, 9th, to me, is still not good enough. We need to try and...
Yeah.
People might say, well, if you finished 10th, that's success on last year. For me, it's not. You need to be back up there in recognised places in the Premier League, which is 7th and above, okay?
Yeah.
In realistic terms. Obviously, I want Everton to finish first or be up there in second place battling for first place.
Yeah.
But we have to be realistic, and I do believe that if we do that this season, we finish 7th, we finish 6th, we've added to the squad, then next season, we do the same again. We finish 6th, 5th, we make a push for top 4, we add another 2-3 players to the squad, but we also phase another 2-3 players out the squad that have just been making up the numbers for a lot of years. Yeah. So that's why I do believe Evertonians need to remain a bit grounded. Now, me and you have been the biggest narcs over the years and being a bit like, and don't get me wrong, if Mascheri wasn't there and certain powers of beer, the club was still there and there was no development off the pitch as well as on the pitch, we'd be banging our heads against the wall, Mark. There'd be no point in doing these podcasts, because when I first met you 2-3 years ago, you know, we were in a far worse situation. That's what we have to look after. And it's difficult because we haven't won a trophy for 21 years, but in terms of longevity, off the pitch, on the pitch, we have to be in it now. We all have to be in it together, and I do feel there's a lot to be excited about.
100%. And that's you just said it then, sucked the words out of your mouth, was that the 2 years it'll be, sadly, now, won't it, with the going out the cup there, was it's not helping with the patience call. You know, if we'd have won a league cup or fucking anything the last 3, 4, 5 years, then to say, right now, come on, just let's take a step back, this is going to be really good when it comes, so let's just be patient right now, that's great, but in the reality, we've waited 22 years for the trophy, so there's no patience left anymore. It's either massive enthusiasm or heartbreak at every cup exit hurts the most. So I know what you're saying. We need to. It's such a shame. No, it's not a shame. It's just hard for Evertonians that they've got to wait another maybe 2-3 years, because we've had to wait 22 years already. Do you know what I mean? It's like waiting for a bus and then one flying past and then being told there's another one, a really good one, but in 45 minutes. You know, it's like that, you know. Yeah. So, how the fuck my brain
is. Even like a little League Cup win. I say a little League Cup win, it's not little, but
you know, when
a League Cup win appeases the fans at least for something. You know, 2, 3, 5 years, doesn't it? It's
like when Tottenham beat Blackburn, where were we then? You know, we're involved in that, just winning a League Cup in the last 15 years, and you'll get patience. But, you know, it's been that long. We've had the piss ripped out of us by that lot for so long. You know, the thirst for success is that much
stronger. But now we've got the materials to bring that success.
Yeah, genuine ammunition to deliver now. Genuine ammunition. So I think Dad in himself has to buy his patience.
Genuine ammunition to deliver. I'm going to write that down. That's going in my Twitter bio.
I'm not going to spell it on your face. You'd be lacking a few numbers.
Genuine
ammunition.
Genuine ammunition.
For success.
To deliver it was.
Oh, to deliver, yeah.
Not success. I mean,
that's like, pardon the name, Finnegan's Pizza on Hawthorne Road. They deliver.
They have a pizza, genuine ambition to deliver.
Genuine ambition within 25 minutes.
You need to lay off them pieces, you lot. Ghana Guy is at the AFCON Nation, so that's the next item of discussion. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Well, I haven't, mate. Good job I looked it up on the internet, isn't it?
You sent me the agenda today, mate, and I said to me, mate, how's Ghana Guy going on in the African Cup of Nations? Because I haven't got a...
To be honest, the only thing we're asked about is the fact that he's still there.
As long as he's not injured, I couldn't care, right? But it's so poor, right? I know we're, as a footy podcast, we're trying to get places, mate. We should know all things football. I haven't got a clue.
That's more about it.
I think he's a terrific player. He's been fantastic for us.
As far as I'm aware, right, and I've watched a couple of games and done a bit of research, but some of the funniest vines and video clips are coming.
I know,
from.
I mean...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You said do the dishes, mate. I did that in my house, but I only lived there myself, so I'm only tripping myself up.
Mate, honestly, some of it never fails, the African Nations, for some of the stuff.
No, just, I think it's just there's maybe 95% the ass, 5% Premier League quality.
It's like football in reverse. But he's still there, apparently. I think they've won 2 and drawn 1.
Yeah,
and they're playing Saturday night.
Okay, so...
So hopefully he gets beat and comes back on the first plane on Sunday.
I'll watch it and sound informed about it then, but I haven't, honestly, mate, could have happened in
me. We'll try and tune in, yeah.
I wouldn't have noticed.
But he's there, and fortunately,
yeah.
Touch wood, we're not missing him too much at the moment.
No.
Because others have come in.
Emergence, Davis.
What's the thing, like, when he comes back, does he go straight back into the side? For me and you, yeah, he probably does, but...
Yeah.
There's other lads there now, and it's competition for places, but it's real competition for places. It's not the likes of Mo Bezic, James McCarthy, Sarah
like
Gibson.
Because they're midfield players.
Yeah.
Now we've got players who are Schneiderlin, Davis, Beth, Gay. You know,
with all due respect, it's a lot more appealing than John Aitinger and Phil Neville in the midfield, isn't it? That happened one time.
It did.
So, Ghana Guy, that was all your thoughts on that, because you haven't done
so
the research.
I've got no information, no research.
It's alright. The other one, a bit of a funny one, David Moyes signing every man and his dog for Sunderland.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell we've said why I'm so glad he's still not Everton manager. I know a lot of Evertonians worship him for saving us. But for me, a complete bottler when it came down to it later on in his career.
Steady on, I was only asking you about Les.
Well, let me just say that quick. What a complete lack of imagination that fella's got. He's basically gone through his black book of numbers that he hasn't used for 4 years and phoned up every player that he thinks could possibly do a job for him. Lescott looked more unfit than I do. Oh, yeah, and that Sunderland shirt. Did you see that picture of him in the Sunderland shirt? Absolutely embarrassing, wasn't it? You know, a fella looked like, not only did he eat a kebab, he looked like he belonged on a skewer in a kebab shop. You know, there was no difference. People probably think that was racist, I'm only messing, but he looked completely overweight. What's Moyes doing? Lack of imagination?
But you've just compared and said he's gone back to that. But you know when you split up with your missus, didn't you just start texting all your ex? I'm sure you
did. Thankfully, I texted the Irish bird as well. Now she's on her way over.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure I did.
I think it's almost like he's just gone in his phone book and gone, right, what are you up to now? But there's been enough jokes on Twitter about it, hasn't there? So we won't go there, but...
I think it's just a complete lack of imagination and shows what a dinosaur
is. It a lack of finances, though, as well?
I think that's irrelevant, to be honest. I think you could find a dozen players who could do a job for you with no finance. But he's not only gone back, he's gone and picked the worst kind of players to do that. You know, Lash got pissed all over him to go to City at the time, yeah. You know, and stuff. Just think he's a desperate man.
Surely, unless Scott's not going to keep it in the league, and he's just tweeted a picture about a superstar car when he was getting relegated with Villa, put it that way.
It just screams Kevin Tonka for Mike Bassett, you know, putting him on because he's the last, you know, the last throw of the dice.
I still can't get over genuine ambition to deliver, to be honest.
Is that a good one?
That's some saying, that. Broke it down twice. So we've got Stoke away next Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're going to beat them, aren't we?
Yeah, at least 3-0 by that time, and then 5-0. We'll rest the players.
Remember the last time we played there, though, when Aaron Lennon scored? We beat them 3-0, didn't we? Yeah, yeah. About 12-0, remember?
12-0 wasn't even an exaggeration. I mean, where the hell they picked that performance up under Martinez at a time when we were not playing great. Do you remember? We absolutely murdered them. I've never seen an away game like that before, you know. So it was like, I just thought, Stoke City away is a tough game for us. It's just the nature of the way Stoke play. They're not playing great. And I think the way Everton are playing now, we shouldn't fear anybody. We've got Lukaku looking for goals. And, you know, we've got the presence in midfield that we've got. I just think Stoke City away represents another opportunity for 3 points for us, you know.
But they're never going to do anything different than go up and down. Are they, Stoke? They're just like up and I'm not. I don't mean leagues. I mean in the table. They're just there. They'll pull off a couple of decent results and then they'll get beat 5 on their own. It's one of them.
That's
isn't
what
it?
They've done again. Yeah.
They've got some good players. You don't need me to name them, but we're going to go there and beat them.
Yeah, I think we're in too good of a mood not to.
I really do think that. You know? Someone said it on Twitter the other day, one day Everton is just going to open it up. And I think Manchester City was one, but I really do think Everton, I remember that last season, was it when we beat Stoke 3-0?
Yeah.
It should have been about 12-0. I think Kone come off the bench and hit the post bar. Honestly,
I was all
sorts of chances. And I was fuming because we didn't win like 4-5, 6-0.
3-0 completely flattered them.
Yeah, but we hit them, didn't we? And I think it was 3-0 by half time, wasn't it? But Aaron Lennon went through it, if I remember rightly. But
yeah, and I think the year before we lost 2-0 when every Evertonian was in A&E getting resuscitated, thinking we were going down.
That's it. But do you know what? It's a good opportunity. It's a midweek game.
Yeah.
We'll go there and beat them. We've got Bournemouth away. We've got Bournemouth at home after that.
Yeah. Absolutely, dead quick on a personal level. Irish Gael coming over, so happy days about
Jesus
that.
Christ.
I'm buzzing. But can't wait for that. But I think Stoke City, Bournemouth, then we look towards the other fixtures.
You're not going to be watching the match.
I'll be watching the game.
You'll be necking your new bird.
I'll be looking at it fondly, and then I'll be watching the game even more fondly because we'll be destroying Bournemouth.
Well, you've got them, and then Bournemouth. Within the space of 4 days. And then I'm sure there's an international break, isn't it? We've got Sunderland at home on the 25th. I'm sure there's a game before then, we're away. Again, it comes down to research.
Middlesbrough.
I'm going. Yeah, that's the one, mate.
I'm going to go to that. So, you look at the next 4 games, mate. And honestly, mate, classic, don't give them.
Don't say it, because we'll get beat.
Okay.
We'll just don't say it. Just
a
say
real opportunity look at the next to progress.
There you go.
Write it down.
A genuine ambition to deliver.
I think, you know, the next 4 games represent a good chance for us to make an impact.
I look at that, especially the Stoke and Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough and Sunderland offer different things. No Premier League game is easy.
No.
But if you look at them as the next 4, every Premier League side would take them 4 and think, oh, I'd go to Stoke midweek.
Yeah.
In the mood, Bournemouth at home on a Saturday. Bournemouth conceded a lot of goals. Stoke hit it and miss. Middlesbrough.
Can't score.
Watch them rattle off 3 in 1 half against those. Couldn't score in a brothel. And then Sunderland come to Goodison with Jolly Lescott in defence. So, mate,
there's going to be more Everton players in their team than us.
I think Balassi will come back for that. He'll score an attack on crutches against Lescott. But there we go. Anyway, we said, didn't we? I mean, we're getting a bit optimistic there, but we did say on Twitter, put a poll out, which is not something we normally do, is it? It's usually, you know, how many hairs has Mark Ellis got left? And there's about one vote. But it's the question basically to the fans was, can Everton push on?
Yeah.
And realistically, make a push for top six. So the votes were interesting, weren't they?
Yeah.
In terms of the numbers and the percentages.
We got 700 votes, which is good for us. You know, we're getting there, slowly but surely. And most people thought top six is absolutely in sight. Even though we're quite adrift in seventh, aren't we? You know what I mean? 58% said yeah. 25% said not a chance. And I think 14%.
28% said 28. Not a chance.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? My maths would have been a lot sharper if I'd got up half an hour later this morning. 14% said top four. And I was one of the top.
So the other option was yeah, we can make the top six. No, we can't. And then the other option was top four is an top four is a possibility.
So we're looking at maybe 72% of the Everton fan base in 700 people.
So does that mean 72% of 700 Evertonians that voted are quite optimistic? Because you don't really see that on Twitter at all.
Because all I see is fume. Message off.
We can't even just say it was me and you voting, because you get one vote and that's it. So
people think
genuinely. Of over 700 votes, 58% of people said that they think Everton can push on and finish in the top six.
Yeah.
14% also said that we could realistically push on for top four, and the other 28% said, no, we haven't got a dog's chance.
I don't get the 28%, to be honest with you. I get the 14% I was part of,
but the question was really for top six, so
yeah,
whether or not you think we can get past Man United with a 5 points clear.
A lot of people think seventh is where we're going to finish.
Yeah, realistically, which if you probably would have asked them two or three games ago,
yeah,
is probably where I would have voted.
And I think 14%, like me, have looked at the next four games and thought...
And got carried away.
Buttered on toast.
Yeah.
Hell day.
Do you know what, though? I'd love to be standing here in four games' time and be like, well, hey,
I just won't say any words, mate. I'll just stand there like Wolf of Wall Street.
Liverpool in an eighth. United are in seventh.
Yeah.
And City and six.
I'm loving Mano. He's gen pressed them into the ground, whatever the fuck that means. But his Klopp system is good if you want instant results.
I knew you'd have to get your Liverpool jibes in there. that's pretty much it, mate. We've covered all aspects there of everything that's we consider as relevant.
Yeah.
We'd just like to finish off by saying it's been 2 years since we've been doing a podcast.
I know, mate. We're
not going to start lighting the candles and hugging each other. But we started this podcast because you were a crank about Ken Wright, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This fella's a freak. I'm going to have to record what he has to say. And since then, we've done about over 40 podcasts and God knows thousands of listens, which is really good. But we're not like other people. We don't boast about our figures. But there's people listening all over the world and it's very much appreciated. And we do really mean that in all seriousness.
Yeah.
And you can find Everton Fan Focus podcast on iTunes. And you can also find us on Acast, which is the hosting platform.
Yeah.
The links are all on Twitter at Everton Fan Focus. And you can also follow Lower Gladys Lad and Mark the Blue on Twitter.
Yeah.
Unless you already know. Well, follow Mark the Blue because he's on Twitter 24/7. And if you reply, if you tweet him, he will reply to you.
I will always reply. And you've got
people recognising his voice on the street saying, are you off the Everton Fan Focus podcast?
It's quite disappointing. It's more my laugh that they recognise more than the voice. But, you know, we've all got to have that.
Because they assumed you were a woman.
They assumed I was a woman. Yeah. They thought it was a unisex podcast.
But
it nearly is.
There you go.
Thanks
very much for listening, Mark. Good to catch up with you.
Good to catch up with you, mate.
Any final thoughts?
No, just a busy couple of weeks coming up. Hopefully Everton will do the business. I won't say anything about my private life, but you know.
Because it'll be another hour.
We've
got four exciting games.
Four exciting games, four real opportunities for Everton to push on. And, you know, let's just have everyone having buzzing takeaways, watching the X Factor with Mrs. Happy, letting her watch it.
You know, and you'll be back with the lads next week on Deadline Day.
God. Reality TV.
You'll be back on Deadline Day with the lads.
Yeah, we're coming back next week with the lads, yeah.
So for a live podcast, Everton Fan Focus, Deadline Day. Mark Ellis' accommodation. Anyone wants to get round there, get round there. Alan Myers, anyone else. Jim White, Natalie Sawyer's going to be there.
Natalie Sawyer in the yellow dress. Bra. Yeah. Get your ass down, there's Jaffa Cakes on offer.
Let's hope Everton sign a few players.
Tough.
Thanks very much, everyone, for listening.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bye-bye.